And so if you have your Bibles, let's open up. Well, first of all, we thank God for the 4th of July that's coming and celebrating this great nation that God's allowed us to live in. I want you to know we've been in quite a few of them, and there's no nation that has greater freedom than we do. We're watching them disappear as they take the word of God out of more and more places, as they're trying to destroy the very fabric, not only of our nation, but of every nation around the world. We're watching that, but I want you to know America is still the greatest nation on the earth. I have found nothing better, no matter where we have gone. It's an incredible place to live. You know, and I remember when, I forget where we were. Can't remember where we were. But somebody was mentioning about, Memorial Day. And the gentleman that spoke, I know him, lives in Stottville. Yes. But anyway, he was ex-military. And I loved what he said. He said, look, we all fought. He was in the Navy for years and years, and he was an anti-terrorist, and he wrote books and stuff on it, and then they teach him at the colleges and stuff. And he said, for all of you younger ones that have never done anything except receive, stop talking. Stop complaining. Stop looking around at everything, and all you do is try to find something wrong with it because you're spoiled, rotten brats. It's just that simple. We love you. You're saved, spoiled, rotten brats, but you're still. For the younger generation that has done nothing to add to the freedoms here in America and given their lives to it, they have a whole lot to say of how all the rest of the world or America is supposed to act in a free country. And the reality is that most of us haven't paid much, but we've enjoyed the freedoms that we've got. You know, even with my 4 years in the Air Force, it didn't cost me a lot. I wasn't in during wartime. You know, the only guy that I knew that passed away when I was in, we were on Guam, and they don't use crushed stone because there isn't any on Guam. They use coral to build the roads. They ground it up years ago and that. How many know coral keeps growing when you add water? It was slippery, and he laid his motorcycle down, and he died that way. But outside of that, nobody from wartime when I was in from 83 to 87. So there was no great cost. Yes, I signed my life on the dotted line. Yes, I went and served over on Guam and around the world and away from my family. But it was an amazing growing up time to see how none of the things of this world satisfy. Coming out of a small town of Earlton with 1,300 people in it, I think, when we were growing up, no red lights. And, you know, my father wouldn't let us go to New York City till we were 18. And because they're all crazy down there. If you're from New York City, I apologize. That was my father's opinion, not mine. He said they're stabbing and killing and stealing and everything else down there. I guess that's back now. You know, they cleaned it up for a while. But then the government sent me to Guam, you know, and I want to know what state Guam was in and if there was good fishing and good hunting. And I had no idea it was an island in the middle of the Pacific because I was a genius. And But even traveling all of those, you know, those 4 years and giving myself to the things of the world or to the military in order for the freedoms, there still wasn't any great cost to me. It was an amazing learning lesson, and I thank God for it, and I gave my heart to the Lord before I got out. But for those that do nothing but complain about this country, please stop. Yes. And how about we build instead of tear down? It's time to build. The enemy wants it tore apart. And if you can't find anything good in America, you're not looking very hard. Just look at your neighbor, say, oh, found something good. Excuse me, I did not see your lips move. Excuse me, I did not see your lips. All right, you slapped them? That's good. You see, because there's so much that we have been blessed with because of those that fought so hard and have given so much for our freedom. And now the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ takes it way above and beyond anything America could ever provide. But we also have a springboard. That's what America is. It's a springboard for us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. There's no place you can't go from here. There's nothing hindering you from going except a thought. The only thing that stops any of us from walking in the freedom that God has promised us is a thought. Some think they can, some think they can't.
That's true. And you're right either way.
What's that?
You're right.
And you're right either way. Yeah. If you think you can or you can't, you're right. Right? The old saying. But you can stay in your house, in your 5 square miles, your whole life and spend it there, or you can live the life that God has called you to. And the life that he's called you to, it might not be far. It might just be across town. It might be your neighborhood. I don't know where it's going to be. But I want you to know, you were not called to do nothing, hang out, just make a house payment and a car payment and stay in your little cocoon and try to stay safe. You're safe in the whole, no matter where you are in the world, in the arms of Jesus Christ. No matter where you go, you are perfectly safe with him. Whether we were in Egypt, Iraq, or Lebanon, and I just never forgot when we were in Lebanon, a girl said, "Hey, listen, don't say nothing political." We were at lunch. I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because Hamas owns everything." And I was like, okay. You know, because here Hamas is a terrorist group. Over there, they owned every restaurant, all the hotels. They owned all of the places where the people were renting, everything. And of course, funneling it back. But we walked around there and had an amazing time in Lebanon and preached Jesus Christ. I was in the refugee camp where the Syrians were coming into Lebanon. And we had lunch with them and sat inside. And it was a big, long building, 200 yards long. And it's just sectioned off with blankets hanging. And that was each person's apartment, just a blanket. And they made the food on the dirt floor, the rock floor. And then we ate the bread. The bread was loaves of bread, where a slice of bread is like that big around, about that thick. And they just had it on the floor there. And they just handed it to you. And then they took some stuff out of the pot and gave it to you. And we all ate. Preach the gospel. It doesn't matter where we go. God has got a plan for each one of us. Amen? Pastor said, don't go to Iraq. The government says we're not allowed to fly into there. Somebody's got to go, and I believe it's you. I believe every single person in here is supposed to live an extraordinary life. Amen. Life where you have to walk by faith. Jesus. See, you can be a Christian and not walk by faith in America. You can. Healthcare is taken care of. The government gives and gives and gives all of your hard-earned tax money to somebody else. They're professionals at it. They know how to give money, that's for sure, as long as it ain't theirs. They love to give your money away. But I want you to know your freedom that Jesus Christ paid for is for you to live an extraordinary life, not an ordinary one. And whatever he puts in your heart, a dream that he put in your heart, write it down and don't stop until you walk it out. Because life is worth living. And living so far outside your comfort zone. You know, I was so blessed by my son today. He's never played the drums because little Larry's on vacation. Landon said, "I can do it." And I thought, oh boy. I'm just being honest. Because he's never taken lessons, but he comes in every Sunday morning before Larry gets here, and he just goes up there and he plays the drums, and he's got a drum set at the house, and he would play on it, but we didn't have a drummer. He said, "Yeah, I can do that." Oh, that every single person in here, whenever there was a need, you say, "I could do that." Yes. Amen? Yes. No matter what it is, somebody needs a meal next door. Oh, I could take care of that. Somebody's hurting. Oh, I can help there. Whatever it is that we would just say, "Oh, I can handle that. I know my God can use me." And he did a great job today.
Yes, did
a great job. So proud of him. But that's what happens. All right. He gets a little honor, but only God gets the glory, right? So we make sure of that, right? All right, you got that? You get none. Right, okay. Well, we teach that every morning in the house. But I want so much for each person to understand what a life we could have. In a country that is amazing, and there's nothing that's impossible when you walk with the Lord. Oh, so many Christians spend so much time complaining about where they're at. So much time. So much time. Tell your neighbor, say, "I'm all done." We got to stop and start proclaiming the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's about his goodness, about his mercy, it's about his power, it's about his might, it's about his freedom, it's about the power of his blood, it's about the loving kindness of God, it's about the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us, and therefore all things then have become possible. Oh, I want so much for everybody to experience a life greater than even any place that I've been or anything that we've done. We just want to be a springboard for all of the young people. All you young people, one day you'll grow up and move into this part, okay? But all you young people that all hide back in there, we want nothing. Here's what we want for your lives. We want to say, don't step in that mud puddle. Don't get distracted by that foolishness. Don't pay attention to young girls and don't pay attention to young boys. Just pay attention to the Lord. And then when you do, the sky's the limit. And he'll take you and make a life that's incredible. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17. Today it's about the Word and the Spirit. In the 2 Timothy 3, in verse 1, honey, can I have my glasses right there next to the bowl? To the left of the bowl, other side. Thank you. It says, but realize this in verse 1, that in the last days difficult times will come. Is the word of God true? Yes. All right. He doesn't lie. So some difficult times coming. Said, for men will be lovers of themselves. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. Right, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Avoid such men as these. Avoid, or women, okay, girls, you're in this too, sorry. Avoid such people as these. In other words, don't be hanging out all the time on the weekend. He doesn't say don't go and witness to them, don't go pray for them. He's saying avoid them from spending a lot of time with them because a clean and a dirty rag, one of them is going to change, and it's not the dirty rag. In verse 6, it says, are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress. For their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you, okay, this is to the church, follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Every single good work. You know, one of the things that is going on in Christendom and in the churches or so-called churches is that the word of God is not held in high esteem, and some aren't sure if the entire scriptures are true. You know, they found that less than half of 1% of the things in the scriptures that they've got some issues with, and most of that is punctuational stuff. It's not the facts. And there's internal and external evidences, right? How many books are in the Bible? 66. How many continents was it written on?
A Jedi, you are not.
Three different continents. How many years? Approximately 1,500. How many authors? More than 40. Right. Over that time, 1,500 years, 40 authors, 66 books, three different continents, and yet every single piece fits perfectly. There's no other book on the planet that even comes close. None. And yet Christians are like, geez, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Well, most of it, yes. So many Christians doubt the word of God to be true, and we wonder why the church is failing everywhere. Why is the church diminishing? Not the the American church is failing, but the church in America is growing. That's you. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Because you see, you are the ecclesia, right? You're the church. You're the body of Christ, right? Even those in the world are astonished at the evidences of the word of God and the power of the word of God. They, when they read it, they cannot believe that over 1,500 years. And yet we have men and women of God that says, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in the Holy Scriptures, but I'm not sure about them all. Tell your neighbor, say, I believe it all. Because he said, every scripture, every single one, right in 2 Timothy, each and every one God breathed. God breathed. We've got to make this the final decision, because if not, we're going to take man's wisdom. How many people read, no, raise your hands. How many people read more books written by men than by God? How much time do we spend more reading other books about history and everything else when the word of life, the word of power, the word from another world, the word from the living God sits on our shelves? This is where we have to get back to as the body of Christ, because Ecclesiastes 8:4, everybody knows, right? What's it say, Lan? Oh, we went, what's Ecclesiastes 8:4? Where the, you are so grounded. Where the word of the king is, there's power. So when that word is read in your household, power starts to infuse every aspect of your life and those that hear it. When you get to work and you open up the word of God because you're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people see you reading it, whether they snicker or sneer, or whether you're going to be persecuted like Paul was, or somebody's going to come later on and say, what are you doing? Changing the world. Yeah. What do you mean you're changing the world? Because I'm changing the way that I think. I'm finding out what power is, what freedom really looks like. I'm figuring out all that God has called me to do. And therefore, I'm changing the world right here, reading these words. Because somebody's going to ask you for wisdom. Somebody's going to need prayer. If we'll put the word of God first. The word of God prophetically, there's no other book on the planet. It's unparalleled and unmatched with the prophetic works. Because like when we were praying earlier, Isaiah was written, I think it was 150 years BC. And yet all of the prophecies that he wrote about Jesus came to pass. Every single one of them. The lineage of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the place of his birth, his death, his resurrection. Over 300 prophecies. Some of them are getting ready to come. How many know he's coming again? Right? But if we don't esteem the word of God and agree that the word of God is infallible, it is not wrong, it'll never be proven wrong, it is the inspired word of God. If the church doesn't grasp that, they're going to have doubts. And how much of the church is being swayed by foolishness? I was sickened. What was that, Lan? That little video you showed me yesterday, that lady in the, what was it, a Presbyterian church? Lutheran church. She was a devil's daughter in a gown. They changed everything to our non-binary God and all of this garbage, nothing to do with the word of God. And they're proclaiming this online out there. And people are coming to church and celebrating and cheering all of that garbage that's not in the word of God. And the church says, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I want you to know God's offended.
Amen.
When people stand up and spout that stuff that's contrary to his word. And you know what he said he's going to do? Woe to him who adds one little jot or tittle or takes away, because he's going to spew them out of his mouth and say, get away from me, you foul and wicked thing. Yeah. That's what he's going to say to those that change the word of God. And I want you to know that if we don't stand on the word of God, are we better?
No.
If we ignore the word of God, if we don't talk the word of God, if we don't read the word of God, if we don't enjoy the word of God, are we any better if we just cower away and hide? No, we're supposed to be the ones that learn and know. We're supposed to be the ones that change the world. His word in you is the most powerful entity on the planet.
Amen.
Then you take the Holy Spirit who says, now, right? 4th of July is tomorrow. Isn't it fun when you line up all the fireworks and you say, we was there at Ethan's and he had Chance. How old is Chance?
Four.
Chance has a little lighter. And his father would get the bottle rocket ready. He'd say, okay, Chance, now you can light it. And he'd go down there. Get back. And Chance would hide by his daddy. That one would go off. And then he'd have to wait again. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does with us? He wants a word flowing out of you to somebody else's life. He says, give it to him now. All right, spend some time with me. Speak to this one. Pray for this one. Go over here. Preach to them. Sing this song. Get lost in prayer with the King. These are those times the Holy Spirit says, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is that moment that God wants to do the miraculous, not 10 years from now. Amen? The historicity of the word of God, archaeological and historical books prove the word of God true. It is the indestructible word of God. No matter how many times, right? Diocletian, he tried to destroy it. The Nazis have tried to destroy it. They burned the books. They took them all. Our government is trying to destroy it. They're taking the Bibles from everywhere, on everything, and out of every building that there is. They've been doing it for a long time. But guess what? They'll never stop the word of God.
Amen.
They can't. Impossible. How do you stop God? These guys are pretty silly in Washington, aren't they? They're pretty silly. But we can hold back the work of God if we deny the power of the word of God and if we deny the power of his word. Mark 13:31, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. His word's going to stand forever and ever, no matter what man tries to do. Amen? The human effects of his word in 1 Corinthians 15:6. He said, after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. We know the disciples went from hiding in fear, and then they became ferocious and died for their faith. That's what happens when the word of God becomes the truth in our lives. So many are afraid to even speak about it. So many are afraid to tell their neighbors or at work or the friends in school or college, wherever we are. So many have backed away. Here they said, you can kill me, Peter said, upside down. James said, you'll have to cut my head off for me to stop talking about the things of God. Bartholomew said, you can skin me alive, but I'm never going to deny Jesus Christ. And they did just that. People won't die for what they don't believe in. They'll only die for what they believe in. Are we ready to die to ourselves because of what we believe in? Or are we going to preserve ourselves and put him on the back burner until we close our eyes for the last time? Because we believe that the word is true. Every word is true in the word of God. You know, so many, they say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I believe. Can I just tell you, unbelief isn't some little weak aspect of people's lives, not according to the word of God. Well, I'm not sure if I believe that. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 in verses 12 to 15, Paul's quite clear here, and he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It's not just something, well, I just don't believe. I'm just not sure about that. You're not sure about the word of God. We're not sure about the word of God. We're not sure if God's going to do what he said he's going to do. We're not sure if Jesus is coming back. We're not sure if there's a place that he's creating for us. Are we not sure? Because if we're not sure about one part of it, we're saying that God's a liar, amen? Now, is his word true? That's the question. And if his word is true, is it the whole word? Then are we going to believe the whole word or part of it? Because if we're going to say, well, I don't believe this part, or I struggle in unbelief in that, he said, look it, that's an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he calls unbelief sin. We got to get rid of the sin of unbelief. We got to get it out of our lives. That if the word of God said it, that settles it, and I'm going to walk it out. Yeah, but my experience, your experience will change daily. Your feelings will change momentarily.
That's right.
Right? All somebody's got to do. Bren, just turn on, kick Jeff in the shin. Let's see how his feelings change. There. He used to like you. His feelings have changed. Our feelings change in a heartbeat. But God's word is the same yesterday. Right. It doesn't change. He doesn't lie. That's not who he is. It says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. How long? To the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. They harden their hearts. Look at, if you deny the word of God, your heart's hard.
That's right.
It's that simple. If you say, I don't believe the word of God, it's because you got a hardened heart and it's rebellion against the word of God.
Right.
We've got to start to agree with the word of God in every aspect of it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
See, churches are taking pieces of it, saying, well, we agree with this, that God is love. But we don't agree with this, where he says homosexuality is disgusting. He doesn't agree. Well, we don't agree with this, where you could be whatever you say. We just got a thing from the school. From Taconic Hills, they set out new rules for this year. And any kid that comes in and calls themselves anything is who they are. Kind of a wacko puts that in writing. What kind of people write this stuff up and send it out to the parents? And now I'm supposed to read that and say, oh, that sounds idiotic. That sounds like somebody in the third grade. And these are supposed to be the learned ones. This is all the union propaganda machine trying to destroy the very morals and the core values of America by destroying the family so they can destroy the work of God that he established on the earth. That's what it is. They want to be God and decide, sorry, they're not. We have the word and it's true. And the word doesn't change. It doesn't change. Just like you can't change who you are. If you were born a man, you're still a man, no matter how you mutilate yourself. If you were born a woman, you're still a woman, no matter how you mutilate yourself. It's child abuse, and every one of them doctors should be thrown in prison. Every single last one of them should be thrown in prison. I just can't imagine, because now we have the detransitioning ones, and man, my heart just breaks when I hear their stories. Of how now they're so confused because that didn't satisfy, no kidding, because our government and no other entity out there that's a federal government agency is going to tell them the truth. That's why we're here. We've got to grab them before they go there, before they destroy their bodies, and then their minds are so twisted. The church needs to tell them the truth about the love of God. The love of God is yea and amen to them that believe. All the promises of God are yea and amen, and you are who he said you are, and you can be free from the demonic attack and the mental issue that you have, thinking that something else would be better than what God created you as. That's who we are. That's our job. We've got to get better at it. Because, man, it makes me weep when I see these babies going through these horrible things. Proverbs 28:13, it says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses his sins and forsakes them will have mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm into mercy. I'm into receiving mercy from God. You know, 1 John 1:9 says what? And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Right. See, do you think God wants us to confess so he finds out what we're doing? Some people think that. I better confess. I better tell. I don't want to tell God what I've been doing. Okay. But what does it say? That not only does he forgive us, but he cleanses us. That's a father that I remember when Nick was a baby and my wife, she would give him a bath in this kitchen sink. Right? That was one of my favorite memories. I learned it the wrong way with my sister, Janae. She was 11 years younger than us. And my mom said, you got to give Janae a bath. I got to run out. She had to go to a meeting or drive bus or something. And I said, all right. So I washed her in the sink, and then I turned her face down and ran this water over her head. She thought she was drowning. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know. I didn't learn that, where you turn them so they're facing up and just put the water on their hair. I just put her face down, and she was going, and then, what? How do I know? This is what, that's what I saw mom do. No, that's not quite all I saw mom do. So then when we had Nick, but I remember how careful I was when he was only about a week old, and take him in there and then just wash as gentle as possible. Make sure the water is the right temperature and then wash and then make sure that the hair, and you're rubbing the hair down. It was such a gentle, can I tell you, that's what your father wants to do. He's not trying to chip away with a hammer at the sins in our lives. He's faithful and just to forgive us, to say, hey, I no longer hold that against you. Come here. I already know what you've been doing, but I want to hold you close and I want to wash you. I want you to know that my love for you is so incredible that every part of your life I want to cleanse. I want to hold you closer than your parents did. And I want to wash everything off of you. So when I get done, you can stand up and say, oh, I'm a new man. All things have been made new because of the love of my Father. I want you to know, this is what the Word of God teaches us that the Father does. Maybe you didn't have a father like that. You've got one now. Yes. Maybe you've never experienced that. You can experience that now if you'll agree with what the Word of God says. Or you can agree with your experience, and then you'll limit your freedom in the kingdom of God. But I believe that God wants each one of us to be transformed by the power of his love. Amen? Amen. Mark 11:25. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Listen, he's already washed you of all your trespasses. He's taken you. The water temperature was just right. His hands never left you. They held you the entire time. He was strong and yet gentle. And he said, now I want you to repeat what I've done. You're going to have to be strong because your flesh is going to say, there's no way I'm forgiving. It hurt too much. He said, you're going to have to be strong. And then you're going to have to be gentle. And say, I forgive you. You know, can we get rid of all of our IOUs?
Yes.
Or you owe me's? I don't know if there's such a thing of you owe me's. I'd like to hand them out. We put them in this offering all the time, right? IOU, whatever. Hopefully you paid them. But people write IOUs and give them to everybody. How about you owe me's? But we carry a whole briefcase full of them a lot of times, don't we? Because of the way somebody treated me, you owe me an apology. You owe me more mercy. You owe me more grace. You owe me more understanding. You owe me. And we beat people with it. Can we just burn all of them? Give them to the Father and say, Father, wash me from that mentality. Wash me. I want to walk free in the Lord and in the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to get rid, honey. I just let go of all you owe me's, all right? You're welcome. I'll wait. Oh, you're letting go of yours too? Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Now the walk that he has called us to, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Do justice. He didn't say if you want to. You're going to have to walk just before him or righteous before him. None of your sins are imputed to you. The propitiation of your sins have already been taken care of. You have to walk out justice. But he said, you're going to have to forgive them. And then he said, love mercy. I don't know about you, but I love mercy. I love it. Early in the morning when mercy comes running and fills my bedroom, fills my understanding, before I even get out of bed, and mercy just floods my soul. And every thought from yesterday is gone. Every desire that's not of him just starts to get washed away, and that mercy fills it. And then we walk out, and I want to make sure that mercy is poured out everywhere that I go, because that's what he's infused in each one of our lives. He said we're to love mercy. Everywhere you see it shown, to encourage and to strengthen people, and then to walk humbly. This is what he's called us to do according to his word. Walking humbly means I get rid of all my you owe me's. There's no way to walk humble before God and hold on to you owe me's. It's an impossibility. Because if you don't forgive them, God's not going to forgive you. Amen? So you're going to have to give up your you owe me's. You're going to have to surrender them. And man, if the church would do that this morning and say, I'm all done with the you owe me's, I'm not bringing it up again. You're released from every foul thing you have done. Now let's go get some help so we don't repeat these silly things. Let's get with someone who's got victory in that area and let's walk it out, because I don't want to walk in that situation anymore, but I'm all done walking with the you owe me's hanging around my head. Some people can't even stand upright because the bag of you owe me's is so heavy. They're carrying so many of them, they can't even see joy. They can't find peace. There's no grace in their lives whatsoever because they're hung up with you owe me. God said, hang on a second, I want to forgive you, and then I want to wash you, and I want to cleanse you, and I want to make you whole, and I want mercy to go running alongside of you and in you and through you everywhere you walk. See, when we agree with what the Word of God says, then power starts to come into our lives and drive out all of the darkness and the lies, no longer walking like those that are with those without Christ, no longer walking with those that are confused, downtrodden, and broken. See, when you're walking in the law and you get outside of the Spirit, the Bible says that we walk in the Spirit, we're sons of God. You start walking in the law, you'll know it. You know how you know it? How do you know when someone's walking in the law all the time? No joy. Yeah. They become quite critical of everything. Of themselves, first and foremost, right? You're more critical of yourself than you ever should be. Can you stop being critical about you? Can you stop bad-mouthing yourself every morning? Can you stop complaining about you? Because you're a new creature. You're a new creation. You're free indeed. You're filled with power, love, and understanding. Mercy and grace are yours. Can you give yourself a break and stop beating yourself from post to pillar every day and start to agree with what he said? You're fearfully, wonderfully made in his image. See, you know when you get in the law because you get critical of everybody else too. Whatever they're not doing. Ever been around people like that? All they talk about is what everybody else is doing wrong. I've been in pastor's meetings where that was a topic. Well, that pastor did this and that pastor did that. And I'm like, hang on a second. Their church is about 12 times the size of yours. Well, yeah, but. There's no yeah buts in the kingdom of God. We've got to stop being critical. You know you're under the law. You know you're walking according to the law when you keep trekker. That's track and records at the same time, okay? When you keep trekkards, you know you're not walking in grace and mercy. There's new words you're going to find. It's biblical. It's scriptural. When you keep trekkards, you know that you have gotten outside of grace and now you're walking in the law. Can you have mercy for every person that you come in contact with in this room? Forget the heathen for right now. Can we just do it here? Because if you're critical about people, If you're critical about every situation, if all you do is condemn everything that goes on, you know you're walking in the law, not in the spirit. Because that's not what God did. God came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free. The Spirit of God came to reveal who? The Son in each one of us. And so this is what God's called us to do. And that's part one. Next week we'll get into part two where we go into the Spirit. But we got to deal with the Word of God is true. 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 Everything in it, if it's in there, you read it, you know it's for you because it was written by the hand of God through men so that you could read it 1,000 times and finally get it. I'm getting things. I'm getting rid of my Trekkards. I'm getting rid of my we owe yous or you owe me's. I'm getting some of these things. I'm being critical of everything else because of the insecurities that each one has. Because when we get so busy in what the Spirit of God leads us to, we don't have time to worry about what everybody else is doing wrong. When you're busy in doing what God's called you to do, everybody else receives a whole lot more grace and mercy. Because most of the time when you get so busy, it's bigger than what you can handle. And then you're just yelling, help! Can someone help me? I need more people to help because I don't know what to do here. I got too many people over here. This is growing. I'm not sure what to do. And you're going to need more people coming alongside of you with more grace, more mercy, more understanding. This is how God builds the kingdom of God. When we walk in the Spirit, amen? Let's stand up this morning. Nudge those people that were sleeping and just tell them, wake up and stand up. All right? You are beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of your Father. His word will never let you down ever, 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 ever. Faith will never fail you, ever, ever, ever. It doesn't fail when we put our faith in God. Your timing might be different than God's. How many have had that experience? Most of us were like the blueberry girl on Willy Wonka. I want it now! I don't remember her name. And then God teaches us some patience. That's why he gave you all to me. And me to you. I can't tell you how grateful I am and how much we can change the world by believing that the Word of God is true, not denying it, agreeing with it, getting it so deep in our hearts and in our spirit that we change completely and only speak the words that bring life. Amen? Let's speak the words that bring life this week. Into our marriages, into our children, into our grandchildren, into your workers, no matter where you walk, not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know it's the truth from another world. And it has power to everyone who proclaims it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the gifts of God. Lord, and for those that are watching, Lord, we pray that you would just fill the rooms that they're in with your presence. Lord, you would overwhelm them along with each one of us, with your loving kindness. That, Lord, that we would have that sense of forgiveness and washing. A Father who, his word is good. When he says you're forgiven, it's done. It'll never be brought up again. No one will ever be able to stand before him and accuse us. And then he washes and cleanses us and brings us close to himself to empower us to go out and walk through whatever needs to be changed. Father, I pray for strength in the men of God in this house, that each one would take their place of authority, that each one would stand up and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God, that each one would proclaim that my marriage will be one that glorifies God no matter where we walk, no matter what we allow in our house, whatever we allow will go along with the word of God, and everything else is getting thrown out. Lord, that there would be a seriousness in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God here in Rock Solid Church in Hudson, that it be your word and nothing else. Lord, we repent this morning for many thoughts that we've had that are outside of your word, and we agree. We agree that your word is true, that all power and authority has been given to us, that nothing is impossible. We're free indeed. We're all done with our you owe me's. We're all done, Father. Let today be a new day for each one. Let there be a freshness, a newness, a strength. Let there be a freedom in the mind, oh God, that as your word washes and changes and makes whole, that not only each person in here, but everywhere they walk, the light shines brightly, and others come to know you as their saving, as their Savior and their Lord. And Father, we thank you for the power of your word in us. Give us an opportunity to exercise it today and every day, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.